You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast where we break down politics, government structure, and dive into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're talking about how a bill becomes a law.
So grab your pen and parchment.
And let's get civical.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, every single one of you. Welcome to our show.
It's called
Let's Get Civical. We never say that. Let's Get Civical. And I feel like, because if you don't know, why are you here? Just kidding. If you didn't know, I'm so sorry. We should have said it. My name is Lizzie Stewart.
And I am Arden Walentowski.
And today we're going to be talking about how a bill becomes a law.
Yeah, because it's a process.
Oh my God. I literally suggested this idea hoping that it would be simple and that I could just like come in here and be like, oh, blah, 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 done. And then I saw Arden wrote 7 pages of notes and I just knew that we were in for a lot of information.
That's a lot of information.
I mean, I'm glad. I'm relieved.
Yes.
I don't want this to be simple. I want this to be not difficult, but like a process, you know, where there's a lot of like reviewing and like
debating.
Yes. I love a healthy debate.
Yes.
So, but it's wow.
Yeah.
I'm overwhelmed.
It's a lot, but it's going to be fun. There's stuff in here that I didn't know about.
There's so much stuff I didn't know about, particularly 7 pages that I didn't know about.
But some of it is fairly vague. Like some of it is like, first step, have an idea. And you're like, okay, well.
Yeah. And if you're like me,
thank you so much.
The only information about how a bill becomes a law comes from Schoolhouse Rocks. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill.
Only a bill.
And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Oh
my God.
It's public domain. We can sing it.
We can sing it.
That's our show. Bye. No, we're going to start off with a hell of a lot of terms.
Yeah. There are a lot of terms to get through, but they're going to be fun, and it'll like we're going to go through the process of how a bill becomes a law, and you'll be so much more up to date when we talk about the process,
up to speed
if we talk about the terms. So first things first, a bill.
Oh my God, yeah, let's start me with the very basic. What is a bill?
A bill is a proposed law introduced in either the House of Representatives or the Senate, and it deals with domestic or foreign issues and programs, and bills can also appropriate money to various government agencies and programs.
So like a spending bill!
A spending bill!
Not to bring it back, but hashtag government shutdown.
That's right. A bill that starts in the House, is the one that's originated in the House, starts with HR.
House of Representatives.
House of Representatives. And then if it starts in the Senate, it has S in front of it. So S, and then there's a number that gets
which
assigned.
Stands for Senate.
Senate. S stands for Senate.
Love.
There is also a reconciliation bill, which is a bill that contains changes in a law recommended pursuant to reconciliation instructions in a budget resolution.
Actually, how dare you? I wanted to slap you in the face.
I literally wanted to slap myself too.
I was just like, you know, you're saying things that I don't understand. It's a what?
It's recommended pursuant to reconciliation instruction.
What does pursuant mean? What is this?
Following.
Thank you. Say that.
There's like, yeah, there's, so it's when you're creating a budget bill. I know. It was created in 1974, and it was meant to, you're going to love this.
I am already
feeling
the love.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
It was meant to make the budget reconciliation process, the process of like passing the budget for the government, easier and more efficient.
It succeeded.
Oh,
can I just say it did its job? What a dream.
What a dream. So the main thing that's different about the reconciliation bill as opposed to like other bills is that you can pass it in the Senate with a simple majority.
Which is just like 51.
51.
Great.
Yeah. There's some, like, we should just do a whole episode on this because it's a process.
Great. It'll just be me screaming the entire time. I can't wait.
I literally, I started taking notes and I was like, this is, I am so confused. And I kind of wish that we had like somebody who's been through the process before.
Okay, I'm right here.
Hi.
Don't be rude.
So what happens basically is that the process is used to make changes to laws that affect spending, the government spending or taxes, so that those changes conform with preset budget levels.
What?
Set forth in a budget resolution. So like each year there's like a cap on what they want to spend, and it can't, the money that they appropriate can't go towards the deficit.
It's like being like, this is your allowance for the month,
right? And then that is,
you're not going over. If you spend it all on clothes, or if you spend it all by going to the movies with your friends,
Lisa,
you don't
folders.
Get any other money.
No,
sorry.
That's
love
it. Yeah,
we're just parenting.
This is like a forced parent, like they're trying to make the legislators like do something efficiently so that the government can like keep running, because you can't do anything without
that
money.
That is so sweet. That is literally the cutest thing I've ever heard.
Right, it's super cute. But there are some restrictions on like what you can put in it. So there's something called the bird rule, and not bird like.
Do you know that I can do a chicken noise?
Please do a chicken noise.
I'm gonna just pull the mic back because it's loud.
Great. That was so good.
I just have nothing left to give. This is my contribution. You're like spouting off definitions and like, this is how this works. And I'm over here being like, I can do a chicken noise. I've always said if I ever entered a beauty pageant, like that would be the talent portion. You know, you have these bitches who are like singing and like reading poetry. And I'm like, hello, my name is Lizzie Stewart from Texas.
Oh my God. I can do a really good cat noise.
Go. You can't have me do it and you not do it.
No, I will go tit for tat with you. Ready?
Yeah. Incredible. It's like it's in the room. No, wait, no, you got it. You got it.
Anxiety.
Don't have performance anxiety.
I am not the comedian for this.
Look, you're killing it.
Listen. I can't even. It's a Saturday morning.
That's your cat that has like asthma. No, that's just like... It's 69 years old. Okay.
Okay, great.
Anyways,
all right, so there is a thing called the bird rule.
Yes, sorry. Yeah, what is that?
And it's BYRD.
Good.
Right?
Good.
Because it's named after a senator whose last name was Bird.
Who was a man.
Who was a man. Oh, yes. I think his name was, I've written it down somewhere. I think his name was like Christopher or something.
No,
Robert.
Let's make it
James.
Like Manuel.
It was Robert. Look at that.
Oh, wow.
Robert Bird. Senator Robert Bird.
What does it do?
And so the Bird rule like put some restrictions on what you can use a budget reconciliation bill to pass, because what they would want to do sometimes is like attach a rider to it and include things that had nothing whatsoever to do with the budget or tax spending, right? Because like if you can get through something through the Senate and not have to get the like a 60 vote threshold, if you don't have to hit that, And of course, you're going to put on this, like,
just put it all in one
all
place.
In one bill.
I love how very sneaky.
Right. He's sneaky. And he was like, I don't like that bullshit. Mm-mm. Not some bullshit. And so he they added some they created the bird rule, or he did. And so they can't, in a reconciliation bill, you cannot attach things that don't have any budgetary effect. So it has to affect the budget.
Great.
You can't put in measures that would worsen the deficit when a committee has not achieved its reconciliation target. No measures outside the jurisdiction of the committee that submitted the title or provision. So, like, if you're at, I don't know, like, and the energy committee, the committee that deals
which
with energy,
I am,
right?
You know that.
You probably couldn't get something through there that has to deal with education. You also can't add anything that produces a budgetary effect that is merely incidental to the non-budgetary policy change. So if you're proposing a policy change and it doesn't have any effect on the budget, but say in some roundabout way that it does. Like some unforeseen, I don't know. I can't even imagine what this would be like because.
But we put it pen to parchment.
But
anyways.
It's pen to parchment.
I love it. I don't even know what this looks like, but let me just write it down.
But let me just write it down. I'm sure there's like an example, but there cannot be like any incidental. Like when you go out to drink, like, you know, you're going to pay for drinks. Right?
Yes, I do.
But let's say you drink too much and you end up taking a car home.
Which
instead of
I did
train.
Not plan for, which right. Literally, this is me last night.
And it ends up being an incidental expense to your night that you didn't foresee.
Yes.
It would be something like that.
That's right? A great metaphor. I feel like
thank
that's exactly
so
what they were thinking of.
That's exactly what
when
it
they
was.
Were writing this clause.
Yeah. And there's only a couple more things that you can't do in a reconciliation bill. You can't include anything that increases the deficit for any fiscal year outside of the reconciliation window. So, like, say whatever you're proposing doesn't increase the deficit for 2019, but in 2025, you start incurring... It starts accumulating then.
Oh.
Like if you can't push off.
You can't be like, this is future Lizzie's problem.
Right. You can't do that.
Great. Love.
Right. And you can't include measures that would recommend changes to Social Security.
Great.
Great.
Stop trying to fuck with Social Security.
There
let her
go.
Live. Let her live her life.
Let her live her life. So, yeah. So you can't. There's only for a reconciliation bill. There's only 20 hours of regular debate. Not
right.
That it maxes out. 50 votes. 51 votes to pass. But fun fact about the reconciliation bill, it's how the ACA ended up being passed.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
They passed a large portion of it in like regular order.
Right.
And like not within a reconciliation context.
Mm-hmm.
They passed it on in like late 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went to the House and the House had some changes and then they sent it back to the Senate and the Senate accepted those changes. But when they accepted those changes, they accepted them and they were minor things. They accepted them through a reconciliation bill.
Weird.
I know, right? It's weird. There's bills.
Love bills.
Great.
Great.
And
that's
then
a bill.
There's resolutions.
Which is not a bill. I'm mad already.
You're going to get mad.
Okay, great.
Okay, ready?
Go. What's a resolution?
Okay. A resolution is the legislation that's introduced in either the House or the Senate, but they may be limited in effect to the Congress or one of its chambers. So it doesn't affect
people.
It affects just the chamber that is making the resolution. So, for example...
Thank you.
House Resolution 109... Recognizes that the duty of the federal government to create a Green New Deal proposed by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in February 2019. Like, that is an example of a resolution, not a bill. So it doesn't appropriate any funds to the Green New Deal.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, like, record of people voting, yes, I like the Green New Deal, or no, I don't want the Green New Deal. It's literally just saying that it is the duty of the government...
To do this.
To create a Green New Deal.
It's basically being like, may I suggest
right.
a bill?
Right.
And that's the resolution.
That's the resolution.
On this thing.
Right. So those are resolutions. They start, if they start in the House, they are H-res.
Which means resolution.
H.res, okay. Right? And if they start in the Senate, it's S-res.
S-res.
Mm-hmm.
S-res.
Ezra.
Ezra.
That's right. There are joint resolutions that require the approval of both chambers in identical form and the president's signature to become law.
What's an example of that?
Literally any bill. Like there's
Wait, then why isn't it a bill?
They just, because it's just another anything. Term. It's just literally another term.
I hate it. They were like, wait, okay, what if we do?
Did you not read my note that said there is literally no real difference between a joint resolution and a bill?
Fantastic. I love that. Good. We need two terms for the same thing. That's the U.S. I know. I see you. Excellent. I love it. Joint resolution, a.k.a. a bill.
A bill.
It's like Peter Parker and Spider-Man. Right. Same person.
It's like Jesus and the Holy Christ.
Same person.
Spirit.
Same person.
I went to Catholic school.
Shout out to Jesus, who I know is listening always.
Praise be. Praise him.
Great. So joint resolution, a.k.a. a bill.
A.k.a. a bill.
Love it.
Yeah. They generally use that term, though, when to refer to something that's like a continuing appropriation. Like we've already given money to this thing, and so we want to continue to give money to it.
Okay.
Or if there's like an emergency. So, right. Oh my God. Hurricane.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I felt the emergency in your voice. Hurricane.
That was my panic of trying to come up with an emergency that wasn't.
We're in the middle of a national emergency, Arden. Did you forget?
I literally did forget.
I did. I'm going to go fill up my bathtub with water because we're in such an emergency. The border is unsafe. Have some respect.
I'm so sorry.
You're going to feel the fear any day now.
I will. It's coming. It's rising up within me.
Yes. Okay.
When they do a joint resolution, the letters on the bill will say HJ res.
What's the J? Oh, joint. Okay, great. I just imagine them being like, okay, think of a letter. HP resolution. P stands for Peter over there from Delaware. I don't know why they're always from Delaware. It's the only state when I'm improvising. Delaware's becoming the only state that I can think of. And I don't know what's going on with me. Like, is this a cry for help? Arden, I'm crying for help.
I think back in your past, like in a prior life, you must have lived in Delaware at some point and did not have a good experience.
As a founding father, I was from Delaware and nobody took me seriously. I guarantee you this. I feel it in my bones that like back in the day, I was there. I was a man and I was there, but I was from Delaware. So I was one of the small states. So they were, and my name was probably like Frederick. And they were like, Frederick, we don't care what you have to say. You have two people in your state.
And no goat.
And no goat. Two people and no goat. You're barely a state. And so I was like, guys, this is literally bullying. Like, be best, you know? Like, come on. This is okay. That just literally, I just had a vision of my past life. My name was Frederick of Delaware.
I think that's your new Twitter handle.
Yep. Frederick of Delaware. Hashtag Frederick of Delaware. Great. So HJ stands for House Joint.
Right. Resolution. Or SJ, Senate Joint Resolution.
So wait. Okay. But they're joint. They're both. Why isn't it HSJ?
Because it depends on where it starts.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Well, yeah. I think HSJ sounds great.
Because the president, if he wants to veto it, has to know where he needs to send it back to.
You know what? Send it up my asshole. I like...
Frederick. That feels like a Frederick response.
That I know. This is why Frederick wasn't taken seriously in Delaware. Okay.
There are also... That feels like a hard transition.
No. We're doing great.
We're great. There are also concurrent resolutions.
Great.
Designated as, you guessed it, H Conres or S Conres.
Why do they? Okay. I'm not going to get hung up on the abbreviations. I'm not going
to
do it.
They need to be crystal clear.
Well, I just don't, like, why not HC? HCR? Why do we have to do con? You know?
Right.
Everything else is just SJ. It wasn't HJON.
Oh, no.
H John.
Take it up with Nanners.
I will. Can you imagine? Nancy, it's Lizzie. I have a bone to pick. This bullshit about HJ Rez, why isn't it H John Rez?
She'd be like, I literally have less time for you than I have for AOC.
She was like, of all the calls that I've received, this is the one. This is the one that I'm going to make her cry. She's going to be like, you know what? You're so right. Lizzie, you're so right. I've never even thought about this. And why don't you come be Speaker of the House? You're like, Nancy, no, look, I'm busy.
I'm busy.
Look, I dabbled in politics back in 17 Hamanaha. I was Frederick of Delaware. Perhaps you heard of me. And then Secret Service would show up and it would be a whole thing. And I'd be like, do you want to be on the podcast?
Great. So this is me not getting hung up on the abbreviations. This is me not getting hung up on them. So great. Concurrent resolutions. How are they different from joint resolutions?
So they are generally used to make or amend rules that apply to both houses. So it's more of like, this is how we currently operate, and we would like to make an amendment to that.
It's like housekeeping.
Yeah, it's kind of a
housekeeping. Yeah. Love. Love.
They are used to express sentiments of both houses.
What? They
want to share their feelings.
Like, we're both sad.
Yes. So when Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi are both feeling very sad about the state of something, they can say,
Here's a concurrent resolution.
So a concurrent resolution, for example, is used to set the time of Congress adjournment.
They could have just like put it in an email. Like, are we not on all on the same Google Calendar? Look, we start at 9. Be there or don't be there. I don't care. That's me being Nancy. We're starting at 9. The car leaves at 9. If you're not in the car, you're not going on the trip.
Thanks, Dad.
It's just like, what is that, the time? Guys, come on. This is 2019.
Write this rule was made in 17 Hamanaha.
Like, okay. The time was like, meet around the 20th of February, hopefully by dawn. But we understand that it's going to take you all 16 years to get here. I get it back then, but now I feel like we can keep time. We can put a man on the moon. We can't be like 9, okay? Look, if me and my girlfriends can all make it to brunch at 11 on a Saturday after going out the night before, then Congress can figure out how to all get together at the end of the day and be like, great, we all did it. We're all fucking grownups. Could pass a resolution being like, we're starting at 9. I can't get over it. Oh my God, this is going to be a 4-hour-long episode. I don't mean to be this way. I don't mean to do this.
But you bring so much joy to my life.
Okay, so what are other concurrent resolutions other than being a day planner? Do they need one? I got mine off of Amazon. I'll send them the link if they can't fucking.
I can't. Being a day planner.
That's what it is. It's literally a day planner.
Come on.
Do they set lunch breaks too? What else do they set? Guys, we're taking a bathroom break at 12. All right. Concurrent resolution. Bathroom break at 12.
Oh my God, I gotta pee. Oh,
no,
shit.
Because we didn't pass the concurrent resolutions. You don't get to pee until 12 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
Nobody leaves the chamber.
My makeup is for shit. My computer is dark.
I love. I'm sorry. Oh. I really didn't mean to spend this much time on this.
Oh,
but this
my
is,
God.
What?
That was a journey.
Because
and
I
a
know
half,
this takes
baby.
Forever. I know that this like takes time. Like they take time to do
they
this.
They do. They do.
There's
and you're
other
like,
things
hi.
That need to be done.
Flint still doesn't have water.
Exactly. Flint still doesn't have water, and you can't write a time in your day planner. We have to spend time like passing stuff to be like, this is the time when we're gonna do something. It's like, come on, guys. Anyways.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
Is there anything useful to a concurrent resolution? Like, is there any, are there useful concurrent resolutions?
There are.
Okay.
It may also be used, didn't read this ahead of time, it could be just as much bullshit.
I know, right?
It could also be used by Congress to convey.
What?
I can't
even read it. What is it? I'm not even looking at the notes. Say it out loud. Say it to my face.
I feel
like what
I'm
is it?
So angry. To convey congratulations to another country on the anniversary.
Are you joking? Are you joking? To say congratulations, you can't send a paperless post? You can't write on their Facebook? You can't, what happened to making a phone call? What about, hey, Great Britain, congrats on still being Great Britain. Okay, Howard, send my love to the kids, goodbye. We have to put a pen to parchment for
pen
that?
Pen to parchment, you gotta have a concurrent resolution.
Oh my God, can you imagine being Great Britain and being like,
cool, thanks. Like, they don't give a shit.
No, they're in much more trouble. They don't even have, like, congrats on
that's
Brexit.
That's literally like the 1776 version of it's blah blah blah's birthday. Wish them well. That's literally what it is. It's Germany's birthday. Wish them well. Like, what? Oh, they don't care. They don't care. Okay, let's move on from this because I don't believe in concurrent resolutions. So much.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
Congratulations to another on the anniversary of its independence. Like, get out of here.
Okay, there are also simple resolutions.
Great.
Which we already kind of talked about. This is like the AOC thing where they're like, this is just for like simple matters that have to deal, like they want to just take a stand.
Right.
So it addresses matters entirely within the prerogative of one house, such as revising the standing rulings of one chamber.
Great. I have a couple of ideas for simple resolutions.
It's also used to express the condolences of, express the sentiments of a single house.
Wait, condolences?
Okay, wait.
Wait, read it. Read it. Read the sentence aloud. Read the sentence aloud. I'm gonna lose my mind.
Oh my God, okay. Also used to express the sentiments of a single house, meaning either, I meant a single legislature, like either the House or the Senate.
Uh-huh.
Such as offering condolences to the family of a deceased member of Congress, or it may give advice on foreign policy or other executive business.
Well, you can't send flowers to the deceased family. Like, what, we have to like pass a bill to express condolences?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's official. It makes it official.
What?
We officially mourn the passing of John McCain.
Because before it was unofficial. Before it was very casual.
It was mourning. But it would have been on like the part of like individual citizens. This is on the part of like the United States of America. The Ohio State University.
Flint still doesn't have clean water.
I know.
Like, I completely, you know what?
I know.
Rest in peace, John McCain.
I know. He is your favorite. That's why I used him as an example.
But it's like, oh, why do we have rules for this? You know? And then, or it may give advice on foreign policy. What does that mean? Being like, I think you should break up with him?
Right. I think you
unofficially
should maybe. Right.
I think you should maybe
Saudi Arabia. Let's talk about this.
Who does it give advice to? Me? Can I call and be like, hey, or I've been having a rough go. Do you mind just like passing a simple resolution, like telling me like how I should?
It's gonna be
all
right.
You know, I'm feeling like I'm not feeling myself. Like, what do I do? Crystals? Like, how do I?
You did use a crystal.
I am using crystals right now. Shout out to my crystal users. Crystals are great.
The rock kind, not meth.
No, yes, oh my God. I know after like 20 minutes of this episode, it seems like I'm on literal crystal meth, but I'm not.
She's not.
I'm not. I'm so sober, it's insane. But like, yeah, who's it giving advice to? Who's asking Congress for advice? I hope no one.
No, I think it's just to like, we think.
Oh, being like, thing? We see the situation unfolding, and so here's a, what? What is that?
It's just Gandalf. It's fine.
Oh my God, what is...
It's a moth.
Listeners, there's a moth in the studio. What is and it that? Attacked...
Oh it attacked my God, me. That was so good.
I'm keeping this in. I'm not
for those of you listening at home,
I'm not editing it out. Wait, that there was that a moth. Me. Well, yeah. Because you pointed and said nothing. Wait, I don't want the moth. The moth is stressing me out.
Stressing it out.
Why is it my fault?
Oh my God! If this makes it in,
it's
let
it
be
it
known that our
hero.
Producer Kate is trying to chase Gandalf the moth. Oh, no. Gandalf okay, wants to stay with Prince and his crew in the poster.
No.
Oh, no. He knows. He knows what you're trying to do.
It's on the ceiling.
I can't even narrate this anymore. Gandalf, come.
It's not a dog. It's a moth.
He's cool.
He's,
okay.
He's up there.
So now
you just okay. Point if he comes to crash. Me.
I'm so
oh my
stressed.
God.
Okay.
What? Okay. We're not even at the like most
Can we
egregious...
move on from resolutions?
Yes. We made it through a page of notes.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Omnibus.
What?
Have you heard omnibus?
God Omni. Bless you.
Atis way.
Omnibus.
Omnibus.
Omnibus?
And this definition comes from Duhaime, is a draft law before a legislature which contains more than one substantive matter or several minor matters which have been combined into one bill, ostensibly for the sake of convenience.
Wait. Basically being like, it's in one bill because y'all bitches are lazy.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You're lazy. Yeah. Let me make it easy for you.
You know what? We all like military spending.
So let's just put it all in one place.
All place.
Omnibus?
Yeah. That's why, like, when the newscasters are like, the omnibus bill, it's not like.
I've never heard that.
Oh, really?
I'm on a bus. That's what I want it to be. I'm on a bus. Okay.
Okay, this is a thing that I didn't realize existed.
Talk to me.
Okay. There's literally public and private bills. What?
Like bathrooms.
Exactly like bathrooms.
Okay, wait. Okay, talk to, what?
So public bills are just what we generally think of as bills.
Okay,
they
great.
Pertain to matters that
schoolhouse rock bills.
Schoolhouse rock bills. They affect the general public. Or classes of citizens.
Great.
So like normal bills. Private bills affect just certain individuals and organizations.
Wait, so they can be like, Lizzie Stewart.
Yeah.
I want
they
you
could
to
name you in a bill. Be like, Lizzie Stewart, year 24.
Oh my God.
Has all
name
the rights.
Name me in a bill, I dare you.
Right. Most of the private bills happen when individuals, they will go to their congressperson or their senator, and the request relief through private legislation when they've done all of the like administrative things that they could and legal things that they could possibly have done to like rectify their problem.
Mm-hmm.
So if they were supposed to work with, I don't know, like immigration, like ICE or something to come into the country and they've mm-hmm. got some problem and whatever, and it's not working out and they want to be able to come to the United States, they can literally go to like a congressional rep and be like, hey, can you please help me write...
With a private bill.
With a private bill.
And the president has to sign it?
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like... I mean, are there examples where this is, like, worth it?
So...
This feels like a lot of work for one thing. And Flint still doesn't have clean water?
Right. It depends. So a lot of these are also have to do with immigration cases.
Okay.
A lot of them are immigration related.
Because we won't... deal with immigration in a real way. We're just
right.
like,
so we're just like passing little bills.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they do still have to go through both chambers of the House. And like you said, they have to be signed by the president.
Mm-hmm.
So they usually begin with the phrase for the relief of.
For the relief of me in this episode.
Yeah. So they start with for the relief of. And they have to go to both chambers of the House. They have to be signed by the president, but also the same veto rules apply. So if the president is like, no.
Then it's done.
Veto.
Yeah.
Then the same override two-thirds would have to be, would apply to the bill. So an example of this.
Yeah, give it to me.
Is H.R. 1751.
So H.R., House Representatives, this is a bill.
This is a private bill.
Okay.
1751.
Wait, like 1751, like mm-hmm. the year?
No, that's just like. They
okay.
So the other part like, that we didn't say
we're
is
not
that,
here.
They get assigned a number.
Okay, great. It just felt very turn of, you know.
It felt very hamana hamana. Yeah. H.R. 1751, for the relief of Emilio Gutierrez Soto and Oscar Emilio Gutierrez Soto, proposed by Rep. Debbie Dingell of Michigan's 12th District.
Great.
I chose this because I love the Dingells.
Shout out to the Dingells.
I love John and Debbie Dingell. Bless his heart, John passed. But they...
Rest in peace, John.
His Twitter feed will live on. And if you don't know it, you should go to it.
Great.
John Dingell's Twitter feed.
Everybody go to John Dingell's Twitter feed.
So Debbie Dingell wrote and proposed this piece of legislation, which asks for permanent resident status for Emilio and Oscar.
Okay.
And it basically... I'm just going to tell you what it says so that you have like some kind of idea what goes into like a... these private, what is now basically standard.
I'm gonna understand
bills.
Every word of it. I know it.
So the two people in question in this bill shall be eligible for issuance of an immigrant visa or for an adjustment of status to that of an alien lawfully admitted for permanent residence upon filing for application for issuance of an immigrant visa under a section of a code. Great. So basically saying like
they can
come here. Yeah. They can get a visa and they can come here and become permanent legal residents. An adjustment of status if they enter the U.S. before the filing deadline mentioned in the act. And then because there are only certain numbers. There's a limit on how many people can immigrate to the United States from various countries.
Oh.
And so, yeah. So in the bill, it also says you have to reduce the number of visas made available to the person's country of origin, which I don't know where these two are coming from. But whatever that country is, if say they have like 200 visas that they're allowed to give out, the United States gives out to this particular country, you would have to reduce that number by 2 to 198.
Great, because there's two people.
Because there's two people coming.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
So it's like it sounds kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like a public and private bill.
Yeah. It just sounds like. I mean, you know, we have so much to do, and so it's just I'm just a little weary of like focusing on individual things as opposed to like trying to come up with an actual like immigration reform policy like on the whole. I feel like this is like a Band-Aid.
Totally.
You know, like little Band-Aids. Totally. And like I get like maybe this is all we can do right now because Congress is not functional. But yeah, it's just like, okay.
Great. So that is private versus public bills. So when you propose a bill.
Yes.
What you're in essence doing is you're sponsoring this bill. You're saying I,
Lizzie Stewart,
am sponsoring
this bill.
H.R. 18,100,000.
Yes, I am.
To rename the state of Delaware.
After myself.
After yourself. So you would be sponsoring that bill. If I was also in the House of Representatives with you.
As you will be.
As I will be. And you said, hey, Arden, will you support this bill? And I would say, of course.
Absolutely.
You are my everything.
I know.
Of course I support you. I will co-sponsor.
Love.
Exactly. So sponsoring is the member of Congress who officially introduces the bill to Congress. And then once you have somebody else who joins the bill with you, then you become co-sponsors. Blah, blah, blah. So, okay. So when you're drafting the pieces of legislation that you want to take to the floor, you need help doing that because as a single person, as a representative, you have many things that you need to do with your day.
I'm busy. I'm trying to pass what time we're going to meet up. Like, you know, we had a lot on the plate. Not over it.
So you have a legislative staff, and depending on where your ranking is in leadership, you could have a larger legislative staff that's dedicated to you. But
who just basically writes the thing.
Mm-hmm. And they advise you on they advise the member on positions that they could take on upcoming legislation. You have generally like somebody who's in charge of it, who monitors the legislative schedule and makes recommendations regarding the pros and cons of particular issues.
If anybody's looking for, you know, a fun, like girl with a great personality and a heart of gold to be on their legislative staff, I'm ready. I'm literally ready. I have expertise on Harry Potter. I'm a part-time criminal investigator. I dabble in astrology, you know.
Oh, my God. You're ready. Do you have hill experience?
Do I have hill experience?
Yeah.
I've been on a hill. In fact, I walking from my apartment to the subway, there's a slight incline. So you could say I'm on a hill every day.
Me too. I have to climb a hill to get to the
slight
top of the
incline
park that I
gets
you.
It gets
you. Great. So you have hill experience.
Yeah, call me.
You're 100% qualified.
I know that. I literally know that.
You have
and
a
if
PFA
anybody wants me,
from NYU.
I'm a college educated woman. Look, I would breathe fresh new air into this. My first order of business, I buy everybody a day planner. Boom. That's the kind of leadership we're looking for.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Can you send me that Amazon link?
Yes.
Amazing. Amazing.
All right. What's our next term?
Okay. We're almost done with terms, you guys. They're going to go quickly now. So there's the parliamentarian, which is like kind of a catch-all term for the people who run the floor of Congress,
who are not representatives.
They're not representatives.
Love.
They're staff.
Love.
They're congressional staff. And they advise and interpret the rules and procedures. Staff from the parliamentarian's office sit in on the Senate and advise for the presiding officer on conduct of Senate business. The parliamentarians also refer bills to the appropriate committees on behalf of the Senate's presiding officer. You also have things like bill clerks and reading clerks that are charged with reading messages to House members and ensuring legislative measures before the chamber are clearly articulated to lawmakers and the public.
I love, are they just up there being like, do we understand? Do we understand? Does anybody have any questions? Do you want me to read it again? How do people get these jobs? Like, is this, do they, can I get on LinkedIn? Like, how do they?
No, I literally thought about this because I was like, how do you
become the reading clerk?
Become the reading clerk.
I want to become the reading clerk. I can read.
There was a, like, one of the things that I read, I stole that language from an article about the reading clerk who, I don't even know if he's still there, but he was the first gay reading clerk.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, look at you. How did you get there?
How do you get that job?
I want
if
that
you
job.
Know how to get this job, please call me because I want to get this job.
You want to be reading clerk? I would love that.
I would be so bad. I would start, you know, I would like make comments on what I was reading. Like, it'd be like somebody's bill and I'd be like, blah, 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 blah. Well, that was confusing as fuck. Who understood that? Not me. I'd be fired within days. I want one day to be the reading clerk. That's all I want. You know, give me the key to the city for one day.
Oh my God. I want to come watch.
I do a tight five.
The bill clerk receives and processes official papers, including bills that have been introduced in resolutions and amendments and additional co-sponsors. So they like, the bill clerk is the person who's like, great, you've done all of the proper things. Amazing.
They're literally babysitters.
Yeah.
They're literally like, we cannot leave until we do this right.
So those are the parliamentarians and the clerks.
Love.
There are some other terms. We're going to put subcommittee and committee in the actual process of the bill making.
Love.
So there's pork barrel spending. So pork barrel spending is when Congress appropriates public funds for projects that do not serve the interests of any large portion of the country's citizenry, but are nevertheless vigorously promoted by a small group of legislators because they will pump outside taxpayer money and resources into the local districts the legislators represent.
Like, nobody wants this.
Nobody wants
but,
it.
But I think it might be good.
There's also a rider. You could add a rider to a bill, which is an informal term for an irrelevant amendment to a bill or an amendment to an appropriations bill that changes the permanent law governing the program funded by the bill. So, like, we're going to give money to the Social Security Administration. We're going to, like, increase their budget. But what we're also going to say is anybody who wants to get, like, food stamps, like, if mm-hmm. you want food stamps, you have to be drug tested first. Like, something that, like, changes okay. the fundamental yeah. structure of yeah. the program.
I had a writer once, but it was to tell me that, like, for my apartment that I would get 1 month free if I signed, and I did, but I like it was attached writer. To my lease.
I like that writer.
So you can say I have legislative experience. Again, I'm very qualified.
Again,
I've dabbled in writers.
Please hire her. Okay, so when you've written all your bills, they go into a thing called the hopper. And
hopper, I hardly know her. I don't deserve
that. Was the daddest of all dad jokes.
Oh man, I'm tired.
So funny. Oh my god,
sorry. What does the hopper do?
It is a special box on the side of the clerk's desk in the House of Reps. Goes in the hopper.
I'm a special box. You could say I'm the hopper of this podcast.
You are my hopper. Great. So that's that. And then the other thing that we should talk about first before we go into the process of making a bill is the electronic voting machine.
Yes.
Which we're going to put this, if you go to our Instagram page.
At Let's Get Civical.
You will see the old, and by old I mean from like 1972-3, and the current electronic voting machines. And you will notice that they are different and that the new ones have colored buttons.
Look, so they know.
They know.
That red means no. Green means yes. I don't remember what the other colors were. There's yellow.
Yellow is present.
Yellow is, yeah.
And orange, not orange, blue was open.
I'm open. I'm open to it. I'm open to the idea.
Oh my god,
love. Yay, nay, present, open.
Yeah,
love.
Yeah. And present is like, you can vote present if you don't want to take a stand either way on the bill.
Incredible.
You can just be like,
that's super fucking helpful. I literally hate that. I'm just like, your job is to vote. Mm-hmm. Like, either it's yes or either it's no. Like, what? What do you mean present?
Present. I am in attendance.
That's, if you vote present, like, no. You must, like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Like, why be here? Don't come. Don't show up. Don't come. Go home. Go home if you're not going to vote yes or no.
So let's talk about how a bill becomes a law.
Yeah. So watch Schoolhouse Rock. No, I'm just kidding. So they either, like, they begin as ideas from citizens. Although, like, LOL, like, that's, like, not true.
Oh, man, that's so great.
It's literally not true, or else, like, this country would be very different because I have so many ideas nobody's listened to.
Nobody's listened to. Also, I used the Kids Clerk House site for this information.
Incredible.
This is meant for children.
It's meant for children.
The Senate side of this, I used U.S. Senator Tom Carper of Delaware.
Oh, my God.
Do you love me or do you not love me?
I did not even plan that. That's incredible. No. See, Delaware lives within me. I'm not from Delaware.
Right.
I also just hit the mic with my face because I'm so excited. Okay.
Yeah.
So the bills begin as ideas from concerned citizens, and the representatives are like, you know what? Yeah, let me put pen to parchment for you, mm-hmm. my citizens, who I listen to every day. I call you all the time because I care, because I'm involved. Okay, so so they basically write the bill, and then they're like, I need somebody to help me create this bill. Like we talked earlier, they need a sponsor,
right?
Because it's not going to happen if you don't have a sponsor. Like that, like, really seals the deal,
right?
So they go around to their little offices, and they're like, hey, will you sponsor my bill? Mm-hmm. are you my mom? And then if it's a good bill, which, like, let's say that it is, mm-hmm. for once, then they'll be like, yeah, I'll sponsor your bill. And it's like a lesson in friendship.
Yeah.
So once the bill is written and it has a sponsor, and we've gone around to enough of our friends to be like, will you support me on my quest for a better life? Then they say, you know what? Yeah, let's bring this to everybody else. Let's introduce this bill. It's like
magic.
A coming out party. It's like a cotillion for the bill. It's like, look, now my daughter is ready to date men. Which, by the way, cotillions hurt. Very bad for our society. So the bill has a coming out party. Mm-hmm. And then in the house, which is what we're talking about right now, so we're in my house, a bill is introduced. So she officially comes out when she is placed in the hopper or the special box.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so stupid. It's like until it, like, hits the box, it's not introduced.
No.
Like, I can't walk in and be like, I introduce my bill. And just, like, shout it out.
Right now.
Nancy would be like, put it in the box.
Put it in the hopper.
That's so silly. And only representatives can introduce bills in the U.S. House of Representatives. So somebody from the Senate can't come over and be like, I'm going to introduce this. Like, mm-mm. Stay in your lane.
Right.
Stay in your lane. So once she's in the hopper, she's in the special box,
right,
the bill clerk, a.k.a. maybe me someday, assigns it a number that begins with HR, which, as we've discovered, means House Representatives.
Right.
Love. A reading clerk, which also maybe me, I do a lot of work, then reads the bill to all the representatives. What? That doesn't happen.
No.
These bills are like 4,000 pages long. I love that. Okay. Chapter 1, The Boy Who Lived. Number 4, Privet Drive. Like, can you imagine? It's just like, that doesn't happen. What are you talking about? Like, I know that's what's supposed to happen, because, like, back in the day, bills were literally one page as long, being like, I think we need another state, you know, and that was it. But now they're like, I've seen bills. They're stacks of paper.
Right, right. Nobody is
that's
reading
hilarious.
That all out.
So there's the reading clerk is supposed to be reading a bill to the representatives. I mean, maybe they do and nobody's there. Maybe they're like, the poor
that's
reader
the thing.
Is just like,
be like,
you can turn on C-SPAN and they're like, page 549. Section 4, whereinto thou -it on the bus. Like, that's silly. They read the bill. Like, send it to them an email. I don't know. Okay, whatever. So the reading clerk potentially reads the bill to all the representatives, and then the Speaker of the House sends the bill to one of the House standing committees. So Nancy's like, this belongs in what? A committee. This committee, that committee.
Yeah.
To like
the Ways and Means Committee,
yes,
or whatever.
I knew all of them.
Yeah. And we should just say, because I didn't say this part because I knew it would come up, that committees are a subsidiary group in either the House or the Senate,
mm-hmm.
established for the purpose of considering legislation, conducting hearings and investigations, or carrying out other assignments as instructed by the parent chamber.
Okay.
Right? Thank you, Senate.gov. There are also subcommittees within committees. And so if they want to delve a little deeper into a particular bill, they can refer it to a subcommittee within the committee, and then it has to like be passed out of each part of the thing it's been. So the further you go down the rabbit hole, the more you have to go jump back up. Yeah.
Incredible. So once the bill has gone to her grandmother's house and the committee members who are supposed to be a group of representatives who are experts on whatever committee that they're on, which I don't know if this is happening either, they review and research and revise the bill before voting on whether or not to send it back to the House floor. So basically they're like, are you worth it? You know, right. like they're like, this is first round of auditionings. This is an EPA.
This is an EPA.
A literal... Yeah. Like equity EPA, we have non-equity actors, we have equity actors. And then there's like a panel of people being like, yes, you might be the next Elphaba.
Right.
And Wicked, go.
Right.
You don't have a shot in hell at being Elphaba on Wicked. Okay, great. Love it. And then once it's done and the, like, let's say this bill is great. Let's say we have the next Elphaba in our midst. It's reported and the committee has approved it and it's sent or reported to the House floor. So it's back in the House. She's back and better than ever. She's ready for her second round of callbacks. She's ready to go. She's like, I'm going to be the next Elphaba on Broadway.
Right. And reported just means that it's been approved by committee.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I don't know why they couldn't just say approved. I don't know. So once... our almost Elphaba is back on the House floor, then everybody debates her. Yeah. Everybody's like, and then anybody can debate it. We're like, I don't want her to be Elphaba because she doesn't have the range. And the other one's like, yeah, she might not have the range, but she has the acting chops. And if you've seen Wicked at any point, you know that Elphaba carries the show and it's a heart-wrenching show. And so they do this. They go, boop, buddy, bop, 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 bop. Is she going to be Elphaba? Is she not going to be Elphaba? And then when it's all done and then they can make changes.
So the producers are all like, okay, great. We have
you can
our
leave.
Likes and dislikes.
Yeah.
Can we live?
Can we live? And then the bill is voted on. So we're voting on Elphaba. And there are three ways in which you can vote on a bill. Because why would there be just one? Mm-hmm. I don't know. So there's something called, oh my God, Viva Voce?
I think it's Viva Voce.
Viva.
I think it's got some kind of accent on there.
Great. Viva Voce, Viva Voce, which is basically a voice vote. So the Speaker of the House asks the representatives who support the bill to say aye and those opposed to say no, which is like, this is, there's 400 of them. So it's like, number one, aye, two, no. And you know Nancy's not there the whole time.
No.
You know, this is literally one of the clerks. All right, number 17, aye, great. Like 3 hours later, 379. No, cool. So there's a voice vote, which seems like a total waste of time. There's the second one is division, which is not a math term. The Speaker of the House asked representatives who support the bill to stand up. This is so like, are you joking? This is so sixth grade. All right, stand up if you like it. Let's do a head count. Let's do a head. Bradley, stay still. Stay still. Stop punching Peter. I can't. Okay, I got to start over. One, two. Like, what? So it's stand up or sit down.
Yeah.
For the division vote. And then the last one is recorded. And they record their vote using the electronic voting system that we've talked about, where you can press yes, no, or present if they don't want to vote on the bill, if they don't want to do their job, if they don't want to have an opinion. If the majority of representatives say yes or click yes or stand up, then it passes the U.S. House. It's certified by the clerk, and then it is delivered, I'm sure, by hand to the U.S. Senate. It's not delivered by hand, is it? Like, it's not like put in a box and like brought over to the Senate. Do we know?
I don't know how it gets there.
Who delivers it? Is there a delivery person? Can I apply to be the delivery person of bills? I'd lose it. I'd be like, I get distracted.
You'd be like, I gotta go get coffee first.
So a bill that goes to the House goes to the Senate, and it has to go through some similar steps, which we'll talk about in just a second, that it went through in the House. And if it is passed in the Senate, then it goes right to the president, which the president has three choices that we've talked about before. He can sign, or she or they can sign the bill and it becomes a law. He can refuse to sign or veto the bill, and that's sent back to the originating chamber, in this case, the House. And then if the House is like, look, no, this bill is still what I want, they could vote for a two-thirds majority and make it a law.
Right. So you hold that producer accountable and not number him and be like, I don't know
what
you're
thinking. This is our Elphaba.
This is our Elphaba, and you need to get on board.
Yes. So if the bill has passed the U.S. and the Senate, it's been approved by the president, or it's vetoed and it's been overridden, we have our Elphaba. The bill is a law.
Bill is a law.
That's the House. Yep. That's the House. That's so the what's House. Different in the Senate?
It's mainly the same ball game.
Great.
The main thing that's different about it is the debate stuff.
Yeah.
Because in the Senate, you can debate something. There's a process to there's a process for debate that is not similar to the process in the House.
Mm-hmm.
First, the Senate must agree to consider the legislation by voting on a motion to proceed, which
what?
Indicates the start of debate.
Okay, this is what I'm talking about.
So you
what do you mean
say,
we have to vote to do the vote?
Yeah, so you would say, like, I move that we open the floor to that we motion to proceed with debate. Somebody seconds, and then it opens the floor to debate. And then you have to move for cloture, which is mm-hmm. closing of the debate,
mm-hmm.
which is when a lot of the filibustering tends to happen because you senators can literally just stand
yeah.
and debate the bill on the floor of the Senate.
Look, I've seen Mr. Smith goes to Washington. Right. I know what's up.
They can speak for as long as they wish on any topic that they choose, which is also how we've gotten like Ted Cruz reading Green New Eggs and Ham. Green New Eggs and Ham?
Nope. Green Eggs and Ham?
Green Eggs and Ham.
New Green Deal Eggs and Ham is what you were
Listen,
thinking.
That is a moneymaker of an idea.
New Green Deal Eggs
Somebody
and Ham.
Somebody write that.
Write it down. Pen to parchment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And this because the Senate rules basically say like any series of senators can speak as long as they wish.
What's
only
the point
until...
of the filibuster? Like why would somebody, why is Ted Cruz reading New Green Deal Eggs and Ham? To prevent it from coming to a vote?
To prevent it to coming to a vote. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. So, and then cloture, you need 3/5 of the senators to like vote in favor of
ending debate. Great.
Which is invoking cloture.
Great.
Yeah. And then they can have the final vote on the piece of legislation.
Once they've closed the debate, then they're like, yeah. let's bring this to a vote. And it happens like immediately after, no?
Yeah.
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 Great. I love that. I'm like, let's get it done.
Right.
Let's get it done.
We're going to open debate. We're going to do the debate. We're going to close the debate. And then we're going to have the vote.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Boom, bang, boom.
Boom, bang, boom.
Ha-ta-ta.
Da-da-da-da. And then if the bill starts in the Senate, they do the same thing that the House does, but just in reverse. They work with their House colleagues to come up with a bill because a piece of legislation has to pass both houses of Congress
yes.
with the same language. Otherwise, they have to go back and
right.
rewrite it. Yeah. And then when it's done, the bill is sent to the president for approval. And that's all.
And anything can happen.
Anything you can also, happen. Some bills do have to be reauthorized. Most of them do have to be reauthorized, which means, so let's take the Higher Education Act, which was passed in the 60s.
Great.
So it allows for certain things. And then every couple, there's like an end date in the bill.
Oh.
And so it has to be put before Congress to be reauthorized because you have to reauthorize the money that's in it.
Sure.
If there were like new pieces of like law or regulation that were passed that had an end date, those have to be renewed.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's about money. And so the Higher Education Act was last reauthorized in 2008.
Great.
And there were some extensions after that.
Uh-huh.
But then in 2017, the Republicans devised the PROSPER Act.
I already don't trust it.
Nope.
The PROSPER? Oh, God.
Yeah. It stands for like something about American opportunity and some bullshit.
Nope.
They were designed the PROSPER Act to replace the Higher Education Act, but like that's not going to go anywhere now because the Dems run the show and they have their own ideas.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah. So that's the other piece of it that like the reauthorization part that does, it's a huge part of legislating and bill passing and
right.
maintaining regulations, but it all follows the same basic process of a bill, how a bill becomes a law, like a reauthorization process.
Like starts in the House, then goes to the Senate, then goes to the President.
Yeah.
Or goes to the Senate, to the House, the President. Yep. It's like a little triangle.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom.
Yep.
I love. Let's close out the show with a couple of fun facts. Nice. This was my contribution to these notes. So the first bill that was ever signed into law after, like, we figured out the Constitution, after we put in some Bill of Rights, the first, like, non-constitution-y thing that was passed was called, it was an act to regulate time and manner of administering certain oaths.
Oh my God, you must have loved this.
I was like, it's the goofiest thing. So it was signed into law by George Washington on June 1st, 1789. So we're like a fresh new babe.
Mm-hmm.
And the act mandated, like basically in the Constitution, it says Congress people have to, or people who work for the government have to swear an oath.
Yeah.
But they didn't write down what the oath would be.
Oh, really?
So this was like, this is the oath that they have to say. when they're getting sworn in. They were like, we forgot to say the oath. We forgot to write what it was.
We required people go to Congress for things, but we didn't say how
to do. We said meet us here. We didn't give you directions. So this is the oath that this act of 1789 is. I, A, B, which like A, B, come on. Not like I, insert name here. I, A, B, do solemnly swear to affirm, as the case may be, that I will support the Constitution of the United States. That's it. That was the oath. I mean, now we added on to it later. Right. But in 1789, they're like, oh, we got to put something in there. One sentence.
Because we're hungover and this is all we can think about right
yes.
now.
Yes. I just love it that they're like, oh, shoot. We forgot to write it down. So that was the first bill that was ever signed into law after we kind of figured out what we were doing a little bit. The most active Congress in the past 30 years, meaning like the people who passed the most legislation, like did most stuff, was the 93rd Congress. So this was 1973. They passed 26,222 pieces of legislation.
My God.
Which is like, I mean, that's like all of the things that Congress can do. So it's not just laws. It's like resolutions. It's whatever. It's this. It's that. So it's like literally everything that they can do. There's 26,000 things.
Do you remember that we said that the electronic voting machine was first used in 1973?
Maybe they were just like, this is so cool.
This is so cool. Look at it.
Let's bring up something else. Not present. So that was the most productive Congress. The least productive Congress in the past 30 years.
Oh my God, now. It's now.
It's well, because right now we haven't finished like out the session. Sure, so we don't know. It could be. But the least active Congress was the 104th Congress. So that was 95, 96. Uh-huh. That passed only 7,991 pieces of legislation. Yep. A lot going on there.
Wow.
You know? But wow, what a ride.
That was insane.
That was insane. I blacked out.
Is Gandalf still there?
Yes. The moth has been on the... Look, we're both... Gandalf and I are both traumatized from this experience. Just so everybody knows, the moth that's in the studio right now has been named Gandalf. The gray, I would say. He has a gray hue on him and has been sitting on the wall ever since he attacked me.
Oh my God.
So
that was the best reaction.
Look, I can't wait to hear it. I can't wait to hear it. That was so shocking.
That was so great.
But yeah, that's how a bill becomes a law.
I rejoice in your misfortune.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us.
It was great. We hope you had a good time.
We had a great time.
Clearly.
Clearly. But we love you.
Love you.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Let me tell you, if you liked what you heard today, then you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. We're on iTunes Podcast. We're on Spotify. Please like us, rate us, review us. We want to hear your feedback. And if you'd like to call me, you can call us at 347-509-9414. Please call me. Tell me what's going on because I don't know. We love you so much and we can't wait to have you back for next week's episode.